From the Financial Times in New York, I'm Amy Keene, and this is FT News. Andrew Edgecliffe Johnson, U.S. News Editor, recently sat down with David Miliband, the President and Chief Executive of the International Rescue Committee and former U.K. Foreign Secretary. The IRC provides humanitarian aid around the globe, but has been heavily focused on working with Syrian refugees arriving in Europe and displaced families inside Syria. In this excerpt from their conversation, Mr. Miliband discusses how Russia's presence in Syria has intensified the crisis, how weak the international political response to the crisis has been, and how the conflict in Syria has dramatized the need for better humanitarian aid. Here it is.
You operate on the ground in Syria with your own staff and with volunteers. How has the arrival of Russian military operations in Syria changed the game there?
I think two things are happening. One, the fighting's intensifying, and the country's becoming more fragmented. It's certainly much more difficult to navigate terrain. We've got about 2,000 staff and volunteers in Syria delivering healthcare, some cash distribution, a bit of education in the north, protection for women and kids. And it's a fearsome environment there. This is local staff, so they're working in their own home communities. It's not expats going in. But having to work cross-border from Jordan and from Lebanon, to some extent from Iraq and Turkey, is very, very challenging. And obviously the situation in the neighbouring states is tightening as well. Just the sheer numbers, 1.5 million people in Lebanon, extra people in Lebanon, in a population of only 4.5 million, 700,000 in Jordan, the pressure there is making for a pressure cooker. And it's the pincer movement, really, of the situation inside the country worsening, the tightening in the neighbouring states, driving more people, pushing more people into Europe, that I think has made the crisis reach the pitch it has.
You've talked about this in the past as a political failure. The root causes of the exodus from Syria and neighbouring states come back to political failure. What would political success look like? As you say, there is no diplomatic process worth talking about around the Syria crisis. You're a former Foreign Secretary of the UK. Do you see any opening for a diplomatic resolution?
The extraordinary thing is not just the scale of the killing, the scale of the refugee flows, the fragmentation of the country, but that for four years, really since the Geneva process collapsed in 2000, or finished in 2012 and then collapsed in 2013, there's not really been a substantive political process to bring this war to a close. I can't actually think of a conflict that has had a weaker political track established to it. Now, there are now meetings planned between Russia, the US, Saudi Arabia, Iran, and Turkey, who are the five key countries in this. No solution that excludes any of those countries is ever going to abate the fighting or bring the conflict to a close. That is the only glimmer on the horizon for the people of Syria, who are frankly terrified for their own lives in increasing numbers. And the consequences are being felt right throughout the Middle East. And obviously this isn't going to be put back together in any quick time. But it seems to me incumbent, both for instrumental reasons of geopolitics and for humanitarian moral reasons of humanitarianism, that there needs to be a political effort of far greater consequence than is currently being shown.
Can you tell us a little about how this crisis has maybe distorted or certainly affected the IRC's work?
Well, I think what it's done is dramatised the need, not just for more aid, but better aid. It's dramatised the need, yes, to step up, for governments to step up. 40% funding of UN aid appeals is obviously inadequate. But this crisis is an urban crisis. Remember, the vast majority of refugees, both in the Middle East and in Europe, are in urban areas, not in refugee camps. It's dramatised the need for an economic dimension to the response, not just a social dimension. And it's also dramatised the need for much more evidence-based interventions by humanitarian organisations. We need a much greater evidence base for what works. For example, we've got good evidence that distributing cash is a very good way of making a humanitarian difference and supporting local economies. But it's less than 3% of the global humanitarian budget. And so I would say that the crisis has dramatised the need for a better aid system as well as for more aid. And certainly organisations like mine are trying to bring a sort of hard-headedness to our humanitarianism to convince donors, be they public or private, that their money will be well spent.
David Miliband, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You can watch and listen to the rest of the interview at ft.com/IRC.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Did you know the Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin? Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover who was their best mentor, what's a mistake they made that changed their approach, and how do they find their next great idea? Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.